All right, with that then, we'll go to Nehemiah chapter 3 for our afternoon second reading, the Old Testament reading. Let me get a sip here, and then we'll begin. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Maah. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananeel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zakur, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasanaah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Bezodeah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon, and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side the river. Next unto him repaired Uziel, the son of Harhiah, of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the rulers of the half part of Jerusalem. And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumath, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabniah. Malchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashub, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalum, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. The valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Haserem. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalun, the son of Kolhoseh, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloam by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Bethzur, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made, and unto the house of the mighty. After him repaired the Levites, Reum, the son of Bani. Next unto him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah, in his part. After him repaired their brethren, Bavai, the son of Henadad, the ruler of the half part of Keilah. And next to him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another piece over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. And after him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, another piece from the door of the house of Eliashib, even unto the end of the house of Eliashib. And after him repaired the priests, the men of the plain. After him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. After him repaired Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, by his house. After him repaired Binui, the son of Henadad, another piece from the house of Azariah unto the turning of the wall, even unto the corner. Palal, the son of Uzai, over against the turning of the wall and the tower which lieth out from the king's high house. That was by the court of the prison. After him Pedaiah, the son of Parosh. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lieth out. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall of Ophel. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaph, another piece. After him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants, over against the gate Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, several things. First of all, it seems from the labor that was undertaken that they were ready to the building and only needed the encouragement of Nehemiah and his organizational skills and leave from the king to get the work moving and completed. In other words, it seems that there was already some pressure there to build up the wall and to repair it. All that was needed was for someone to take the lead in it, someone of authority to provide the leadership and guidance that they needed. And isn't this often the case, that leadership is really only an actualization of what the folks that are being led wanted to do, the upright things that they wanted to do in the first place. Now, sometimes it can be the opposite. It can be that those leaders actualize what, you know, the not so upright things that those who were led wanted to do. But in this case, we have this really wonderful circumstance. It seems that the people wanted to build up the walls of Jerusalem, and so they were waiting for someone like Nehemiah to come along. Very often, it only takes someone, one person, placed in the right context to bring success out of defeat, to bring that which is upright out of that which is not upright. I can recall several times in my own career being involved in the electrical industry that all it took was an upright suggestion for some of the comrades that I was with to turn them from the way of wickedness that they were about to embark on, right? Because someone said, you know, I'm not going to participate in that. And they said, oh, okay, well, what should we be doing then? Well, let's go do what's better instead, right? That's all it takes sometimes. It's just that much, even the leadership of a comrade, not even of a superior, may provide for that which is good and upright to take place, because there may be a pressure that is already there, right? In that case, in the case I just described, it was a pressure of conscience. These men knew that what they were about to do was wrong. And so all they needed was someone to tell them that it was wrong. And that help, that was just enough of a help for them to thwart them from their wicked design. Well, praise the Lord for that, right? Those are the kinds of things. And so Nehemiah saw that there was need to build. He came with a plan. He came with purpose. He came with the authority of the king. And he found that there was already much pressure there, much desire. And so it seems that from the way the work is described as going forward, that everyone was ready. There are those who say, yes, let us build, but do not put forth the labor to it. And so there were those nobles that we read about that said, that they involved not their own labor and effort in the building. Rather, those that were under them did instead. This reminds us of the parable when the Lord Jesus asks, which of these two sons did his father's will? Go into my field and labor today. The first one said, I go, sir, and went not. The second one said, I go not, and went into the field. Right? So let us be careful there. They had made a commitment, and yet when it came down to the rubber meeting the road, they did not. We also note the leadership not only of Nehemiah, but of Eliashib the high priest. And so as we saw with Joshua and Zerubbabel, so we see here the bringing together of the civil and ecclesiastical authority to encourage the people to their work. We also see that they moved about in an orderly pattern around the city. We can't tell because we don't have a diagram here, but if we did have a diagram, we would note that they began at the sheep gate. Why the sheep gate? Because that's where the offerings came in. That was the sheep gate. And who had charge of that sheep gate building? The high priest, Eliashib, and his priests that were with him. That's where they labored. And so as we move around the city, piece by piece by piece, next to, 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 all the way around back to the sheep gate, what we find is that these folks are taking up the places that they have responsibility for. In other words, they have an interest in that particular part of the wall. It belongs to them, to where they are located, to where their houses are, to where their families are, and so on. And so we see that the building up of the wall of Jerusalem was an affair where everyone was interested in the building of it. Well, there's an illustration, simply laying there waiting to be picked up, right? Every one of us ought to see ourselves as having an interest in Zion and a particular place on the wall to build and to contribute and to do what the Lord has put into our hands to do, that portion of the wall in which we have interest. And if you're wondering what your interest is, there is an interest that is universal to us all, right? What is that interest that's universal to us all? Being of mutual encouragement to one another, because when Eliashib the high priest looked over, what did he see? He saw others that were building next to him, and they saw others that were building next to them, and so forth, all the way around the wall, right? Everybody showed up for the work. That's one. Another thing, another mutual interest that we have is that we are all able to pray one for another in the building, right? Not everyone occupies the same place on the wall, but we can pray that each of us in our variegated interests on the wall are performing the duties that are commensurate with our place in the wall. We can pray for that. We can offer assistance to those who are next to us. If they are struggling, if they're having difficulty with the building, we can, indeed, not being so concerned with only our interest, we can build alongside them as well, and so on. They moved about in an orderly pattern around the city. They labored on or near their own houses. They recognized that they had an interest. And then also, we recognize that all of us stand need and have an interest in a well-built Zion altogether. Isn't that right? We want the entire city to be built because there is a way in which we are only as strong as our weakest place in the wall. The enemy of our souls will find that weak portion of the wall in order to enter into the city. And so in that sense, we are all interested one in one of another. Then also there is a great community among the builders. There's not a word of dissent among them, except for those who would not bring themselves to work. There are those who worked next to others, those that worked after each other. There's work that is too large for one group, some work that is too large for one crew. There must be a succession in time. There were those who took the work that were not even inhabitants of Jerusalem, so they had no personal stake, but they did have a stake in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they labored for his house and his city. The priests took the lead. And so the ministers are mentioned first as the example of doing good, and that for the sake of the church. And this is an example of how things ought to be. We learned about that earlier in our study of 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, being examples to the flock. The rulers of the people are also involved in the work. They lead by example, with that one glaring exception of those nobles that refused to work. All the rest of them labored. They led by example, and that's ever to be pursued by those who are in authority. Note the nobles of Tekoa, that they refused to put their hands to the work. This meant that they would not commit themselves to be under the yoke of the repair. Thus, they are shamed by their ill example. Well, we must never go down with that kind of reputation. Then notice we have all kinds of laborers, tradesmen, women, rulers, priests, all working together, all confessing by their work, their commitment one to another and to the Lord. It sounds like a wonderful time of mutual and shared labor, side by side. Then we note verse 20. This man earnestly repaired the portion of his work. This is especially encouraging, to have someone who is zealous for the labor rather than half-hearted or aloof. And don't we recognize that there are some times when we might be more zealous or less zealous than others? And so, as we learn in engineering school that there is such a thing as a mean, right? Sometimes we'll be up here, sometimes we'll be down here. Sometimes when we're up here, there's someone down here. Sometimes we're both up together, right? And when we're all working together, there ends up a mean there, where those who are discouraged may be encouraged. Those who are encouraged may continue to labor in such a way to bring up others with them. So we must not let our own personal attitude drive us away from the work, but we must learn to work together to be encouraged by others, even at such times when we're less inclined. Let's see, what else? The uses that our fathers in the faith have made of this passage is to remember that we are all interested in the walls of Jerusalem and the protection and health of the city, such that we should all take care to have a mind forward to her protection, do nothing that would weaken her walls, nor weaken the resolve of our brethren regarding her beauty and protection. We are all to recognize that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that with fervency and constancy. And we are to put feet to our prayers as we are able to pick up our sword and our trowel. Finally, then, let us see, while this description is a sort of overview, subsequent chapters will reveal some of the hardships of the builders and the perseverance that it took for them to continue in that building and not to be discouraged after all. And with regard to the wisdom when the enemies of the work would distract them away from it. So we'll see then that we should not be distracted nor discouraged by hardship in building in the walls of Jerusalem. All right, we all have a part. So that's how the chapter ends. Let's